Today is Wednesday, February 3rd. What to expect next week at the historic Senate impeachment trial? Both sides have now turned in their official arguments. Also, a rare honor for a fallen police officer. And where the federal government will soon send COVID vaccines for the first time. Plus, why Amazon's billionaire founder plans to step down as CEO, which delivery company Uber is taking over now, and the reason behind Nike's new hands-free sneakers. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in around 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. We are now less than 1 week away from former President Donald Trump's second impeachment trial, and we're starting to get an idea of how each side is going to present their case. First up, House Democrats, acting as the prosecutors, filed an outline of their arguments in the Senate. They're accusing the former president of summoning a mob to Washington, D.C., whipping that mob into a frenzy, then aiming the crowd at the U.S. Capitol, quote, like a loaded cannon. In fact, they say Trump is singularly responsible for the riot that invaded the Capitol, damaged the historic building, and ultimately left five people dead. But we're also hearing from Trump's lawyers. They filed an official response. They argue Trump did not incite the crowd to be destructive, and the speech he gave to the crowd just before the riot is protected by freedom of speech in the First Amendment. For example, when Trump told the crowd to, quote, fight like hell, lawyers say he did not mean literally fight, like get violent, but to fight for election security in general. House Democrats say it doesn't matter what Trump meant, but that his speech did incite violence. Trump's lawyers also argue it's not constitutional to hold an impeachment trial for a former president that's no longer in office. And there's another point both sides are addressing, all about election fraud claims. House Democrats say Trump's claims helped set the stage for the riot as far back as July, even before the presidential election, when he said the only way he would lose is if the election was rigged. And Dems say his baseless claims about voter fraud continued ever since. But to that point, Trump's lawyers argue there's not enough evidence to say voter fraud claims are inaccurate. So which side will convince enough senators who act as the jury in this? We'll see. The Senate impeachment trial begins in just 6 days. A Capitol police officer killed in last month's riot will now be honored at the same government building he died trying to protect. Today, Officer Brian Sicknick is lying in honor at the U.S. Capitol. It's a rare tribute offered to private citizens. In fact, he'll be only the fifth American to ever be honored this way. Already, President Biden and First Lady Jill Biden visited in person to pay their respects last night. Other police officers and lawmakers are scheduled to visit today. Then Officer Sicknick will be buried at Arlington National Cemetery. President Biden is reviewing and undoing more Trump-era policies. In his latest round of executive actions, Biden took on immigration. For example, he created a task force to reunite several hundred families separated at the U.S.-Mexico border. Advocacy groups and lawyers have been working on this already, but as of last month, more than 600 parents who were separated from their children still needed to be found. In the past, the Homeland Security Department under President Trump had said a lot of parents don't actually want to be reunited with their children. Instead, they're wanting their kids to stay in the U.S. to have a better life, even if they cannot be part of it. At this point, it's not clear how the Biden administration will be able to do more than what the advocates have already done, but if anything, this will bring more manpower to the effort. Biden also signed executive action to kickstart reviews of Trump's policies about asylum and legal immigration. So stay tuned. More of President Biden's historic picks for his cabinet are now officially in place. The Senate confirmed Alejandro Mayorkas as the Secretary of Homeland Security. He's the first Latino and first immigrant to take that job, and he'll be busy right away. Mayorkas will have a big say in immigration policy. He'll also have a hand in responding to the COVID-19 pandemic and other national security threats. Also, the Senate confirmed former presidential candidate Pete Buttigieg as Biden's transportation secretary. And that makes him only the second openly gay cabinet member and the first confirmed by the Senate in U.S. history. Biden reportedly wants him to start working on a climate-friendly infrastructure package he can present to Congress soon. Hundreds of protesters have been rallying in the streets of Moscow, Russia once again. And again, it's about Alexei Navalny, one of Russian President Vladimir Putin's main rivals. But this time, it's because a court sentenced Navalny to 2.5 years in prison, saying he did not check in with his parole officer like he was supposed to while he was in Germany. Now remember, Navalny went to Germany late last year to recover from being poisoned, and he and many others, including the U.S., think the Russian government was actually behind it, though Putin denies that. Before Navalny was sentenced, he told the court the charges against him were made up. Now his lawyers are promising to appeal the case. The new U.S. Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, condemned the Russian government for this and demanded Navalny be released right away. For the first time, the U.S. government will send COVID-19 vaccines directly to pharmacies all around the country. It's starting next week and will mean a million doses will be available in 6,500 stores like CVS, Rite Aid, and Walgreens. Then, as vaccine supplies grow, the program could reach as many as 40,000 pharmacies. NBC News reports, before this, the federal government was only sending vaccines to hospitals and state health departments, and then they were deciding where the vaccines were ultimately ending up. Now the new effort is meant to streamline the process so the shots get into arms faster. Plus, it should hopefully make vaccines more available in more places. And by the way, the CDC now says more Americans have received at least one dose of a COVID vaccine than have been infected with the virus. All right, we have much more news still ahead, but first, this episode is made possible thanks to Noom. Noom says if you want to lose weight, it's not about one thing you ate today, but how you eat in general. Noom teaches you about eating, your cravings, and how to build new habits so you can ditch your misconceptions and get smart about food and the choices you make. Yes, Noom focuses on healthier habits, feeling good about your choices, and having an improved sense of self-worth and mood. And Noom says it wants to work with your lifestyle so you don't have to commit to a rigorous plan or feel bad about going off track for just a day. Based in psychology, Noom teaches you why you make the choices you do and gives you the tools you need to replace your habits with healthier ones. And since everyone is busy, that's why Noom does not demand much of your time. They only ask for 10 minutes a day. So sign up for your trial today at Noom, N-O-O-M, Noom.com/newsworthy. There's a science to getting healthier. Sign up for your trial today at Noom, Noom.com/newsworthy. That's Noom.com/newsworthy. Okay, now back to the news. Amazon founder Jeff Bezos is stepping down as the company's CEO. Bezos plans to transition into the role of executive chairman of the company's board by July. And taking over for him as CEO, the current chief executive of Amazon Web Services, Andy Jassy. In a memo to employees, Bezos says he wants to devote more energy to other projects like his space company Blue Origin, the newspaper he owns, which is the Washington Post, and his nonprofits, the Bezos Earth Fund and the Day One Fund. Obviously, this is a big shakeup for Amazon. Bezos has been the head of the company since he founded it nearly three decades ago, and it's now one of the most valuable companies in the world, worth about $1.7 trillion. Uber is expanding once again. It's taking over the alcohol delivery service Drizly for more than $1 billion. Drizly already delivers alcohol from local liquor stores in more than 1,400 American cities, and now that Uber is buying it, it'll eventually be merged into the Uber Eats app. The existing Drizly app will also stick around, just in case people prefer to use that one. Uber's deal with Drizly is expected to close in the next few months. American college football players are getting more concussions during practices than they are during games. At least that's what medical researchers are now saying in a new peer-reviewed study. They looked at dozens of concussions over the span of five college football seasons, and they found nearly three-quarters of them happened during practice. So the NCAA says it could consider new rules. Already, the NFL regulates practices on the professional level for safety, and that seems to be working. During the 2019 season, just 7% of the NFL concussions happened at practice. But Axios points out the NCAA can have a harder time creating widespread change in college sports, since it's made up of a bunch of different conferences and divisions with their own rules. Still, researchers say even certain teams and individual players can keep this evidence in mind to help avoid extra risks. EA Sports is bringing back its popular college football video game series, but with some changes. EA Sports is already the company behind the popular Madden NFL series, but discontinued its college football video games back in 2013. At the time, there was a legal fight about using the names and images of real players in the games. In fact, there's still an ongoing debate about college players' legal right to make money off their name and image. For now, at least, the NCAA does not allow it. But all of that apparently won't be a problem this time around. EA Sports says its new video games will not include specific athletes. Instead, they've made deals with the schools. So the games are said to include logos, uniforms, mascots, and other game day traditions of real college teams. As ESPN reports, EA Sports hopes to include more than 100 teams in its video games. As of now, they're still in development, so we don't know when they'll actually be released to the public. Nike has a new pair of hands-free sneakers. Yep, you don't have to use your hands at all to get them on and off, and Nike is hoping this could be a game changer for people with disabilities. These sneakers do not have laces. Instead, they have a hinge of sorts at the bottom of the shoe. The idea for the technology was inspired by a teenager who was born with cerebral palsy. He wrote to Nike about creating a shoe he did not need to tie. Now, Nike's design team says it hopes the shoes help a lot more people like him, as well as some people who have lost limbs or even pregnant women who have a hard time reaching their laces. The new sneakers are called Nike Go Fly Ease. A limited number will be available on February 15th for $120. Then they'll go on sale more broadly later this year. And that's it for the main news today, but now it's time for Work Wednesday, when we break down one interesting career or work-related news story every Wednesday. But first, this episode is brought to you by 1010. You may have read about this in the New York Times, InStyle magazine, or Forbes, and we're excited to tell you about it. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 one-of-a-kind engagement rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Using only diamonds responsibly sourced from Botswana, 10 design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful commitment ring. They're available now exclusively on BlueNile.com, and when they're gone, they're gone. We all know that the diamond engagement ring is iconic. It's a timeless expression of the deepest commitment between two people, and with 1010, it's been beautifully re-envisioned in the hands of 10 modern designers working exclusively with sustainably sourced diamonds. If you're on the hunt for the perfect unique ring to wear forever, you're definitely going to want to check this out. Again, this exciting limited edition collection of diamond engagement rings just launched, and you can find it exclusively at BlueNile.com. Okay, now back to Work Wednesday. And today we're talking about the best cities for working from home. As you know, more people are doing their jobs remotely because of the pandemic, and this is a trend that's expected to stick around even after COVID-19 is no longer a major threat. So an LA-based company called In My Area ran the numbers to find out which cities give remote workers the best balance of affordability and access to high-speed internet. And here's what they found. San Antonio, Texas, ranks highest among big city options. Even though it's the seventh largest city in the U.S., monthly rent there is only about $1,300 on average for a one-bedroom place. Plus, high-speed internet is available to nearly everyone. More than 9 out of 10 residents have access to it, making it one of the most connected major cities in the U.S. But if you don't want to live in a big metro, Morristown, Tennessee ranks number one when it comes to medium-sized cities. And Tell City, Indiana comes in first for small cities. And speaking of remote work, a quick reminder that we here at The Newsworthy are hiring for 2 remote positions, a news writer producer, as well as a fill-in podcast host. So if you or someone you know could be a great fit, find the details at thenewsworthy.com/jobs. All right, thank you so much for listening today. We'll catch you up with more news to know tomorrow. Until then, have a great day.